Thanks for tuning in to Sermoncast, the preaching ministry of Christ Church of Amherst. You can learn more about Christ Church by visiting our website at ccnh.org.
Fine. And then we'll, in 2 weeks from today, Lord willing, we will start, get back into Acts and Paul's missionary journey. So, the sermon for today, I want to read a little bit from about the wise men from Matthew, and then late in the sermon, I'll read from Isaiah, Matthew 2. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east. We've come to worship him." When Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and asked them, "Where is the Messiah to be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophet wrote: Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah, for from you will come a leader who will guide my people, Israel." So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem with instructions: "Go and make a careful search of the child. When you find him, let me know, so that I too may go worship him." And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were. What joy was theirs. It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and presented them to him. And they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you for your word. We just ask, God, that your spirit would speak to each and every one of us, that you would touch our hearts, that we may follow you and give you the gifts that you so richly deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to do a little thought experiment today. So if you're in the mood for thinking, great. If you're not in the mood for thinking, you can meditate on the Patriots-Ravens game for next weekend or whatever it is that you've got planned, the hope that it'll get up to 70 degrees so they melt all the snow so we don't have to shovel it, whatever is on your mind, by all means. But I want to spend a little time just kind of thinking, because in this world that we live in, we are overrun with expectation. We're overrun with a sense of entitlement. We're overrun with things. And we tend to put our faith in things that just don't make sense. So I just want to clear out some of the cobwebs. We live in a world that seems very, very entitled. We live in a nation that's very entitled. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that we feel that we're entitled for things to go well. You know, the rest of the world may have suffering. The rest of the world may have the persecuted church. The rest of the world may have all sorts of problems with currency, with Ukraine, with Russia, the rest of the world. But we're entitled not to have that. We don't deserve it. We have the expectation that we won't have it. We have the expectation that things should go well for us in our nation. So we live in a very entitled place. We just, and I'm not trying to rag on America. No. I don't know that there's any other place I'd rather live. That's not the point. The point is, what are we putting our faith in? And we not only have a sense of entitlement as a nation, we have a sense of entitlement as people. And all of us in this room have a sense that somebody owes us something. We have a sense that somebody should take care of us. We have a sense that our employer should do something toward us. We have a sense that our spouse should do something for us. We have a sense that our kids should do something for us. We have a sense about this. We have a sense about that. We have a sense that these are the things that should happen, and if they don't happen, then we got a bad deal because we're entitled to these things. We really do. We feel like we're entitled to these. We deserve these things. We feel as though this is what we ought to get, and if we don't get it, then we have cause for complaint. More than that, we have cause for lawsuits. More than that, we have cause to feel like we've been treated unfairly because we feel that we're entitled to all sorts of different things. And if we lived in a different part of the world, Afghanistan, would you feel entitled to the things that you presently feel entitled to? Would you feel like you deserve a long life? Would you feel like you deserve the government to take care of you? Would you feel like you deserve that? We have these things in our wallets, not as many perhaps as we might like, but we have these things called dollars. And they're kind of curious. Can't eat them, really. Shouldn't try. They're paper. What are they worth? Well, they're worth what people say that they're worth. So what's this worth based on? Well, the worth is based on people assuming that it's worth something. Okay? If people decide it's not worth anything, then it doesn't worth anything. So you see, you have one of these things, you feel like you're entitled to something, but the reality is you're not entitled to anything because the point of the matter is the entire value of the thing is based on what other people think it is. It's based on the perception that the United States of America will conduct its economy in such a way to keep this thing valued, but if other people decide the United States of America isn't doing it, then it ceases to have value. I should have brought all my Nicaraguan money. Thousands and thousands and thousands of pesos that are worth nothing. We feel as though we're entitled. It's just kind of cleared all away. Let's move to a John Lennon for a minute. Lennon writes this song, Imagine There's No God, Imagine There's No Heaven, Imagine. So just for a moment, let's imagine there's no God. This sounds like a horrible sermon. Okay? Yep. Happy New Year, happy Epiphany. Actually, it's a great sermon. It is. It's a great sermon. And I mean that with all my heart. I'm excited about finishing it. But let's just kind of clear all these things that we just kind of assume in this world. Let's pretend there's a world with no God. So how did we get here? Really have no idea. How did this universe start? I have no idea. I know we have this Big Bang theory, but it doesn't do it for me. So you can see, actually, I hope you're beginning to see that if you decide that there's no God, it requires a fair amount of faith to try to make sense that, I don't know how you can make sense of it. But we'll pretend. So if there's no God, then there's no law. If there's no God, there's no salvation. If there's no God, there's no nothing. And if that's the case, then the world is just this naked universe. There's no morality. There's nothing. How do you live? You live whatever way you choose to live. Can you do anything wrong? No. You can cause harm. You can betray, you can do all sorts of stuff, but that's not wrong. There is no morality, there is no law, there's nothing. Okay? There's nothing. So we need to move from this entitlement world to say we're not entitled. We need to reflect on the fact that if there is no God, there's nothing. There's nothing that's wrong. And even if there's no God, you can still have this concept of sin. What do I mean by that? Sin literally means behavior that hurts relationship. Simple as that. Sin is behavior that hurts relationship. So if what you've got is you've got this world with, you've got take out the entitlements, because we don't, it's not entitled, it's kind of, everything's kind of speculative, say the least, on the dollar, etc. Everything's kind of speculative. You've got this naked world, there is no God, there is no right and wrong, but you still have this thing called sin because you have this thing of people hurt each other. You can't say that it's wrong, that you're going to go to hell, but the reality is people hurt each other. It's a sinful world. So the truth of the matter is, there is a point to this. The truth of the matter is, we're not entitled to good. We're not entitled to wealth. We're not entitled to be rescued. We're not entitled to have everything go well. We're not entitled to have our relationships the way we want. We're not entitled to wealth. We're not entitled to a certain value of the dollar. We're not entitled to anything. And the truth is we sin. The truth is we hurt each other. So if you want to kind of strip all of these kind of expectations and things that cloud our minds, because they cloud, just face it. Let's just be, we live in a culture that is in la-la land. It is in la-la land. It's not just the case you've got people walking around with things in their ears, listening to music and doing all these kind of things and addicted to their smartphones. All this kind of, that's actually not my point. The point is we're in la-la land. We have this belief that everything's going to be fine. And it's kind of a house of cards. And we hurt each other. And there's sin. And what a normal rational person would expect in this world is conflict, hurt, people hurting each other over and over and over again. So, that's what I would say is reality without God. So, what's the good news? The good news is there's this remarkable passage in Isaiah chapter 49. And it's remarkable because it's a conversation between God the Father, Jesus, God the Son, about Israel, and about the Gentiles. So what you've got here is, we've reflected on the fact of a world without God. We've reflected on the fact that a world without God is going to be a chaotic world. A world without God is going to be a world that hurts. Certainly a world without God is a world in which there shouldn't be expectations that any particular good thing will happen, and there shouldn't be an expectation that any particular good things will happen to us. Because if we were rational, what we would expect is chaos and hurt coming this way and that way, and you feel like you're in Star Wars, Obi-Wan. I can hardly wait for the next movie. So, Jesus is speaking. Listen to me, distant nations, us, you people who live far away. Before I was born, the Lord chose me, and he appointed me to be his servant. Jesus is saying, before I was born in Bethlehem, I was appointed by God. He made my words as sharp as a sword. With his own hand, he protected me. He made me like an arrow, sharp and ready for use. He said to me, Israel, Jesus, you are my servant. Because of you, people will praise me. And it's not easy for Jesus. He says, I've worked. But how hopeless it is. This is a great picture. When we're sitting there saying, everything's going to be fine. We're entitled. Everything's going to be fine. Jesus is working and he says, this is hopeless. Nobody's listening to me. Nobody's listening to me. There's no evidence I'm making any difference in people's lives. My life is, there's nothing. I've used up my strength and I've accomplished nothing. Yet I can trust the Lord to defend my cause. He will reward me for what I do. You know, we kind of confuse God the Father, God the Son, all these kind of things. But it's important to separate them, and it's important to put ourselves in Jesus' shoes. And Jesus, when he's on the cross, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he's looking at this world for what it really is, which is sinful and chaotic, and there's all sorts of speculation, there's house of cards, there's all this kind of stuff, and people are so into themselves and their expectations, they're not listening to him. God comes to bring them life, and they're clueless. Not only that, they don't like him. Before I was born, the Lord appointed me. He made me his servant to bring back his people. Let's bring God back into this sermon. The God of the universe that created all things. You've got this chaotic, speculative group of people that are feel entitled, that are blah, 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 blah. And he loves them. Want to know things that make no sense? Love makes no sense. The love of God does not make sense. Because we don't deserve it. In what universe does it make sense other than this universe? He made me his servant to bring back his people, to bring back the scattered people of Israel. The Lord gives me honor. Not people. God gives me honor. He is the source of my strength. Jesus recognizes that in order for him to be the man, the Son of God that he's meant to be, he has to be connected to the Father, not to human beings. Do we get that? You look at your life, 2015, we're moving into this new year. Are you trying to get all of your strength from your retirement plan, your 401k, your job, your family, blah, 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 blah? Where are you trying to get your strength? And there is no strength other than God. If you think that, you're deluding yourself. The Lord said to me, I have a greater task for you, my servant. Not only will you restore the greatness of the people of Israel who have survived, but I will make you a light to the nations so that all the world may be saved. So that Jesus, God is saying, I'm not only here to redeem my group, I want to redeem everyone. So when you put God back into this picture of this universe that is spinning around, of human beings behaving bizarrely, having faith in all sorts of bizarre stuff, with a sense of entitlement, and then they go complain. Hours a day, they complain. I mean, human beings, they complain. They just complain. Patriots are the number one seed, but they probably will lose because they lost to Buffalo. We complain. That's right. We should have signed this person or that person, and then the Red Sox. And then we complain. We complain. We complain because we're entitled. We're entitled. Israel's holy God and Savior says to the one who's deeply despised, Jesus is deeply despised by us. We want wealth. We want security. We want the world to bow down to us. We want others to bow down to us. We want what we want when we want it yesterday. Israel's holy God and Savior says to the one who is deeply despised, who is hated by the nations, and is the servant of rulers, kings will see you released and will rise to show you their respect. Princes will see it and they will bow low to honor you. This will happen because the Lord has chosen his servant, the holy God of Israel. The holy God of Israel keeps his promises. We have this sense of entitlement. We have this sense that, of course, Jesus came for us. We have this sense that God's lucky to have us. Yeah. It would just not be very good to be God if it wasn't for us. We have this sense of like these things. If we want to get centered, we need to acknowledge right off the bat, we don't deserve anything from God. We don't deserve anything. We're the ones that created this speculative, bizarre world, and we have no claim on God. None. None. He made a promise to Abraham. He made a promise to the people of Israel. And he's going to make good on that promise. And unless there's Jews in the room, none of us have any claim on that promise. We act as though we do. We don't. The Jews have some kind of claim because God cut a deal with them. We got none. And the Jews weren't much to look at. They weren't very impressive as a group, but we're worse. We're just saying something. And God decided to extend his salvation and grace to us. An epiphany is, yes, it's about wise men coming to bring their gifts. But Epiphany is also the day in which these wise men, who are not Jews, look up into the sky, and the heavens declare the glory of God. These Zoroastrian Persians who studied the stars and studied the sky looked up in the sky, and they recognized that the king was born, the Messiah was born. They had to drop what they were doing to go and worship. They had no claim on this God. There was no expectation this God was going to do anything for them. But they felt absolutely compelled to go worship, and they did. Epiphany is the day in which it's the Gentiles. It's extended to us as well. So, what's the application of this sermon? Should write down all your guilt trips. No. No, don't. Here's the application. We make life really much more complicated than it is, and we make this Christian thing more complicated than it is because we make the Christian thing kind of this extension of our own personal genie where we want God to do what we want when we want him, and we're praying that God will do what we want when we want him. But when we get back in touch with what the Bible's talking about, Jesus saw himself as a gift to the nations. And he is exactly that. What it means to be a follower of Jesus is to acknowledge that we have received this great gift that we do not deserve. We need to change our mindset to understand the fact that we have received a gift we do not deserve. And coming after Christmas, this is not an easy concept. Because at Christmas time, we have a sense that we're entitled to gifts. We're entitled to gifts. We don't get enough gifts, then we feel ripped off. We have a completely skewed sense of gift. But we have received this great gift. It's a gift we do not deserve. And what are we to do in response to that? We are to be a gift to the world. The Christian life is not that complicated. What it means for us is to accept the gift that was given to us as a gift, not an entitlement, and then to be a gift to the world. Here's the application, the homework. Who does God want you to gift? And what does God want you to gift to them? As you're sitting here right now, not complicated. Is there somebody to whom you need to extend forgiveness? God's extended a great gift to you of forgiveness. Is there somebody that you're holding out on? If you're holding out on it, who is it? Forgive. Give the gift. Is there somebody that you know that is in need and you have something to give to them, either materially, in time, whatever? Is there somebody there that's in need that needs a gift? And you have it, and God's asking you to give it, and you're holding out on God. What is it? Who is it? Homework. Gift. And in this kind of gifting, it's okay to re-gift. What's been given to you, you can pass on to others. We make this world really complicated. We feel like we're entitled to this and entitled to that, and if we don't get it, we pout. When we spend so much time pouting and into ourselves, we completely lose sight of what's going on in the world. We are certainly pathetic and not salt. And what we need to do is clear all that away and say, thank you, God, for this amazing gift you have given to me. And like these wise men, I need to bring this gift to the world. Who is God asking you to gift? What is he asking you to gift? The Holy Spirit is working in each one of you right now to tell you the answer. It's not complicated. It might require humility. Are you gonna do it? And if you're not going to do it, and I mean this without being really sarcastic, if you're not going to do it, what are you doing here? Because this is about worshiping God. If we're not going to do what God asks, what in the world are we doing here? Let's pray. Our God, we certainly confess the fact that we're sinful and all, you know, the stuff that's been you've dug out during this time. But help us, Father, not to get lost in self-pity. Help us to accept this gift of forgiveness that you've extended to us that we do not deserve, but we have received. And help us, Father, to live as your people, gifting the world with your love, with your grace, so that everybody might know who you are, Savior and Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in to Sermoncast. We hope you enjoyed this week's message. For more podcasts, you can visit ccnh.org and subscribe to our channel through the Sermoncast link. We'd also invite you to connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/Christ Church of Amherst. Until next time, God bless.